next case for argument, United States v. Tejada. Tejada, Mr. Blagan.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Patrick Blagan. I represent the appellant in this matter, Apolinar Tejada. This appeal addresses the propriety of the district court's ruling on a motion to suppress. And the two specific issues that the district court ruled on are a search that was claimed to have been conducted incident to an arrest, and the alternative ruling that the search was, that the seizure of the items, the drugs, cocaine in this case, was would have been inevitably discovered in any event. It's my position that the court was wrong in both respects, and I'll start with the issue of the search incident to the arrest.
Could I comment, Mr. Blagan, that I think there's some, Maginot line that the courts crossed some years back that make this a difficult argument for you, which deals with the incapacitation of the defendant. There are cases, and you cite them and talk about them, where defendants are already handcuffed and already under control, and yet a search incident to an arrest in the immediate area has been upheld. It goes forward. And that's your client's case. I mean, as I understand your version of the facts, he's handcuffed. He's not about to reach into the entertainment center and find the blue bag or anything else. But if you're going to allow the police to search the immediate area anyway for weapons, for other smaller things, then isn't that the end of the case?
Well, I don't think so. I obviously agree that the courts have given some wiggle room in this, what used to be called, or still is called, but there's wiggle room, the narrowly drawn and carefully delineated exception of search incident to arrest. But here's where...
I mean, because you could have imagined drawing a line saying once they've got him under control, then they have to stop searching because he's not going to go reaching for a gun or something. But maybe there are enough incidents where they thought they had somebody under control and all of a sudden he pulls out a gun anyway to justify the rule that, as I understand it, exists.
Well, if there is such a case that said the law was changed in that regard, I haven't come across it. What I think the difference is, with the cases that the government has cited, and I cited some of them too, is there are certain factors that courts take into account in determining whether they can still do incident to arrest a search when somebody is incapacitated, no longer near the area where he was originally grabbed, and where the search was not contemporaneous.
Well, were the drugs... weren't they in a duffel bag?
They were in an entertainment center, which was closed, in a zip-closed duffel bag, inside a plastic bag, inside another plastic bag. And there is no case...
So that's your real argument, isn't it? That even if they could look in the entertainment center, they couldn't start unzipping these bags because there wasn't any way in which he was going to be able to, handcuffed and surrounded by police, go to the entertainment center and start unzipping bag after bag. Isn't that your real argument?
But yes, it is. And there's a case, not from this circuit, from another, where they say you can't presume that the defendant is Houdini or a gymnast to be able to do such things, so you can't find that it's a search incident to arrest. That's obviously a huge factor. Many of these other cases that Your Honor was talking about involve weapons or drugs that are easily accessible, not things that are enclosed within and within bags.
Make a break for it and get to the entertainment center, and maybe there'd be a gun there. What I don't see is how he could, I'm supporting you, I don't see how he could have unzipped the bag.
Certainly not in handcuffs
and so on. Were his hands handcuffed behind him or in front of him?
Behind his back, and it is... The record isn't perfectly clear because the arresting officer could not recall, but it's likely that he was actually in a separate room in the kitchen at the time of the search of the entertainment center in what I'll call the living room.
Did the judge make a finding about that?
She didn't make a finding other than saying that she thought it was a search incident to arrest.
She didn't make a finding as to whether he was in the kitchen or in the living room?
Not specifically, no.
I thought she did generally, though, credit the testimony of the police that that this was all unfolding very, very quickly, perhaps even in matters of seconds, if not minutes, and that the search was contemporaneous with getting him down to the floor.
She may have made those general findings. The testimony was that the search was conducted after a sweep of the entire apartment was completed.
But this is a tiny apartment.
It's a small apartment, yes.
400 square feet.
And the agent said that it took seconds. He could not determine how many seconds. He said he certainly didn't mean 1 or 2 seconds, but he couldn't recall. Likewise, he couldn't recall whether the defendant was in the kitchen or not. The other, what I think, big factor in this case that differentiates it from all these other cases that I've called the wiggle room cases, are in those cases there are almost always more than one defendant or perpetrator there, so there's this greater risk of somebody else grabbing something. They're in public places like airports where luggage is sitting out in the middle of hundreds of people, and so they commit a search then. But most importantly, what really happened here is that, and this is something the district court at first said she didn't think was relevant, because the government didn't charge him with other drugs that were found in the apartment. These agents performed an entire search of the apartment. They didn't just limit it to the area of the arrest. They searched a freezer. They searched a closet in a back bedroom and recovered marijuana and bullets. So the suggestion that this was all done for the incident to arrest purposes of preventing grabbing a gun or destroying evidence was belied by what the agents did in other regards. The alternative ruling, which was raised solely by the judge and then addressed with an additional witness, was that this stuff would have been inevitably discovered. And that one, I think, with all due respect to the district court, I believe she missed the boat on that completely. She accepted as... It seemed to me that the district court was saying once there's probable cause, then to get a warrant, then inevitable discovery applies. What I think she missed was the other requirement, which is there has to be an independent chain of events showing that the agents would have gotten a warrant. And there was nothing in that regard save for a supervisory agent saying, well, if the other agent hadn't already done this search and found everything, I would have gotten a warrant.
Well, actually, the testimony, as I understood it, was almost to the contrary. This is clearly a bust that kind of went wrong in a number of ways. They thought it was going to be in the restaurant. It wasn't in the restaurant. They're out on the street. All of a sudden, the guy's upstairs and waving his blue bag out the window, and the police come rushing up, and things are not going well. So I don't think there's any notion that they were thinking of getting a warrant because they didn't think they were going to need one.
Well, what I'm referring to is once they're in the apartment and have it secured, they didn't ever even consider getting a warrant to search the rest of the apartment, and there were no discussions of a warrant. I think I'm into my rebuttal time, so I'll reserve that if I can.
Thank you. And Fernandez-Harvath?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Maribel Fernandez-Harvath on behalf of the United States. The government is respectfully requesting that this Court affirm the District Court's denial.
I don't really understand the... I don't understand how they can... how a search of the bags can be justified as a search incident to an arrest.
Your Honor, this Court has previously...
Handcuffed. He's not... How's he going to... Yeah, he can maybe reach the... We don't know where he was, but maybe he could have reached the entertainment center, but he couldn't have started unzipping bag within bag.
Your Honor, the rationale behind the search incident to arrest is that custodial arrests can often be dangerous. In this instance...
That doesn't do anything, right? That's the rationale, and of course that just shows it doesn't fit here.
And in this case, when they went to arrest the defendant, he did have a handgun on him. And
look, no one is I'm not even quarreling with the proposition that they could search the entertainment center, but how could you possibly justify unzipping the bags, looking inside the bags? Because there's no way he's going to be able to unzip the bags.
With respect to this particular case, there was another co-defendant that appeared at the restaurant with the drugs. At the time,
right, but he wasn't
in the apartment.
He's not in the apartment, though.
That's correct.
If he was in the apartment, then, you know, that's another story. But he wasn't anywhere around. He wasn't in the apartment. Let me put it that way.
That's correct.
And he couldn't run over to the entertainment center, get the blue bag out, look in there, get the gun. So that's not even a possibility.
But at the time the agents entered the apartment...
You're moving off into another issue, the inevitable discovery. You're off the incident to arrest. I thought that everything they did, including finding the drugs, could be justified as a search incident to an arrest.
That's
now
correct,
you're suggesting Jenna. You're splitting it between the entertainment center and... the unzipping goes into the inevitable discovery bin.
Your Honor, the agents were allowed to go into the unzipping of the duffel bag because at the time that the agent searched it, the protective sweep was still not finished.
Look, it's too unrealistic. The purpose of the arrest, of the search incident to arrest, is to protect the police from the arrestee. Well, there's no way in which they need protection against his unzipping these bags because there isn't any way, handcuffed, surrounded by police, he's going to have time to go to the entertainment center and start unzipping bags, right?
Your Honor, this court in Fleming held...
Look, don't tell me what this court said unless you have a case that's like this case.
In Fleming,
that is where it's completely unrealistic danger, which nevertheless we say, well, fine, incident to arrest, anything goes.
Your Honor, I think the facts in Fleming are similar to this case. In that case, the agents entered the defendant's apartment. The defendant dropped a closed paper bag and was arrested. He was removed from the apartment, and 5 minutes after he was removed from the apartment, the agent went back in, opened the bag, and searched the bag. And in that case, the court upheld that that was a proper search incident to arrest.
What sense does that make?
Well, in explaining whether or not the agent can go into the closed container, the court said, a valid search incident to arrest has as a corollary that any container may, of course, be searched, whether it is open or closed, since the justification for the search...
That doesn't make any sense, because if they've removed him from the apartment... He can't possibly run back in and right? So it's been fictionalized. That's what you're saying.
No, the court has held that...
What was the danger in Fleming as you describe it? What was the danger to the police?
The danger to the police at the very moment that Agent Landa searched that bag is that the protective sweep was not completed.
I'm talking about Fleming.
Pardon me. The
what
court,
was the danger?
He's been out of the apartment for 5 minutes, and there's a bag there.
The court held that that was a proper search.
What was the danger to the police that justified their going back in the apartment?
Your Honor, under Fleming, the court did not say if there was additional people in the apartment. In that case, that did involve...
Well, if there were additional people, that would be fine. That would be fine. It certainly would distinguish that case from this case.
Right.
You said it was like this case. Now you say we don't know whether it's like this case.
No,
the facts
are...
Have a case that's actually like this case?
The facts are similar in that the search of the closed
container...
Facts are
not similar if there were other people in the apartment, or if there may have been other people in the apartment. That's a critical difference. So do you have a case that's like this, in the sense that the actual danger to the police is zero, but nevertheless the court says, well, you know, incident, we're going to interpret it broadly.
Your Honor, the district court has... The courts, in it determining these issues, has said that it doesn't depend on what a court may later decide what was the probability in a particular arrest situation.
Yes, of course, but it seems to me that the probability that he could, handcuffed, surrounded by police, go to the entertainment center, open the door, and then start unzipping bag within bag, that seems to me to be zero probability. Do you think it's more than that? What, do you have some...
Your Honor, I think based on what was happening at the time and what the officers observed in terms of going in, the defendant resisting arrest, when they went to go arrest him, reaching for his waistband, recovering a loaded handcuff, I think that based under those circumstances, it was reasonable for Officer Landa to search the area and to look inside that closed container. The defendant
handcuffed. So let me just clarify, too. So you're saying this was simultaneous, they're looking at this, looking through the apartment, and them going into the entertainment center. It was all happening at one time. So are you saying the agents didn't know if somebody else was there?
That Agent Landis specifically did not know whether or not there was any agents there. His testimony was that he was arrested by the entertainment center, that he conducted a protective sweep of the front part of the apartment, and that as immediately after that, within seconds, he searched the entertainment center in the back. Agent Johnson's testimony...
No. Thought there might be someone else in the apartment?
I'm not saying that, Your Honor, but you're asking me what danger could be posed.
That's a critical difference.
In this little 400-square-foot apartment.
Right. So I'm trying to figure out how in this little tiny apartment he doesn't know if... that's why I'm trying to get the timing.
Right. The timing is that he searches the front part of the apartment. Within seconds, he finds the bag, which is closed and contains the cocaine. And Agent Johnson testifies that they're still doing a protective sweep of the other part of the apartment, and after he completes a protective sweep, Agent Landa had already recovered the cocaine.
Give us the layout of the apartment.
The layout of the apartment is that you walk in, there is a kitchen, there's a little walkway between the kitchen and the living room area, there is a very small front bedroom towards the front of the house, which is where the window was where they showed the cocaine, and there was an additional, and I do not recall if there was one or two bedrooms towards the back of the apartment past the kitchen. Agent Johnson testifies that he goes towards the back bedrooms. Agent Landa testifies that he goes in the front of the home. And what he says is once they recover the gun, he does a quick protective sweep of the front part of the apartment and immediately goes to the entertainment center. Agent Johnson is still doing the protective sweep of the back part of the apartment beyond the kitchen, and that is when he comes back and realizes that Agent Landa has already recovered the cocaine. So what is the potential danger? This court has said that they're just handcuffing a defendant alone isn't enough to say that neutralizes the situation, and there isn't potential danger. Many courts have held that. Defendants are sometimes when they're under arrest.
We understand that generally. We're just trying to get it as it applies to these facts.
And I would
say your position would be that this was all happening simultaneously. So the agent that was at the entertainment center had no idea if anybody else was there or not.
That's correct, because he did not search the rest of the apartment.
Did the judge find that?
Yeah.
The district court found, in terms of the search incident to arrest, she found that the place where the drugs were was in the immediate vicinity of where he was arrested, and then said even if he was moved to the kitchen, that the area was small enough that the agents...
Didn't say anything about that they didn't know...
I don't see her relying on the fact that maybe some other person was going to come rushing out of another room and grab something at the entertainment center.
Yeah.
Not a word.
That's correct.
That.
If I was responding to the question of what's the potential danger that could happen in here with respect to the fact that the defendant was already handcuffed.
But the judge didn't find anything like that.
No, the judge just found that this was a proper search incident to arrest, that the entertainment in the center at
Bad. It seems to me she thinks the only thing it has to be, no matter how thoroughly disabled you are, you're hogtied and handcuffed and everything else, that the police can draw some little perimeter of 5 feet around you and open every container inside that perimeter.
Mm-hmm. Your Honor,
that seems to be the rule that you think she applied and that you think is correct.
I think that's what the case law suggests, that
you could be knocked out. You could have been, injected with some sedative, so you're asleep, and they still get to search everything in the 5-foot perimeter.
I'm not saying that the court should go that far, but the cases that have addressed this particular issue have been cases where the defendants have been handcuffed, where they've been placed against a wall, and then there's other officers there monitoring the defendant, or in the example of Fleming, where the defendant was actually removed from the apartment. If I may conclude this
court. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Fernandez-Harmon. Mr. Blaken, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
I think I can clear a few things up. Fleming, there were two defendants, so there were two people who were being taken into custody by the police and had been taken into custody by the police. The other thing I think I can clear up is this issue of what did the arresting officer, when did he recover the narcotics? His name is Agent Landa, and he said that in response to questions, you did not search the entertainment center within seconds of Mr. Tejada being taken into the kitchen. Is that right? That's correct. It was after a search of the home was done looking for other people who might potentially be dangerous, right? His answer was yes. Mr. Johnson, the supervising agent, testified consistently pretty much with what Ms. Horvath said, but he says that he, when he returned from his part of the protective sweep, he thinks that the arresting agent had already recovered the cocaine. And when I pressed him a little bit on that on cross, he said, the reason I use the word think is exactly the reason I said it, because I don't really remember whether he had already recovered it or not. The other thing, last thing I wanted to point out, if I could just have,
of course,
because I have a minute, is this issue of possible, you know, the invisible man hiding somewhere in the apartment would negate the whole purpose behind the search incident to arrest. If you draw a circle around somebody, but there's a third person potentially hiding in the closet, that would then permit the government to search everywhere. That would have nothing to do with the perimeter or the place within reaching distance of the arrestee.
Really, in an apartment with a total area of 400 square feet, were there really two bedrooms?
I don't believe there was. There was a back bedroom is all that I, if Ms. Horvath said there was two bedrooms, that maybe I didn't hear her say that, but I don't think there were. I think there was a back bedroom, a kitchen, and then a living room area. I didn't visit the apartment, so I don't have a picture of it clearly in my head. I think that the agents exceeded the scope of their search. There was no danger to them from the drugs that were located where they were, and they really conducted a whole search of the entire apartment, and that's how they got this stuff. Thank you.